Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is Gene. Our co-host, of course, is Tim Swartz, along with his 28 personalities or voices. John Cruise is our guest this week. And when I verify, as I do on a show, how he pronounces his last name, he said Cruise. And I said to him, and John, you can give me the answer you gave me before, I said, you mean like Tom Cruise?
Yeah, well, that's how we pronounce it now. A lot of people, I must say, you know, over my life, a lot of people have misheard it and thought that they were going to be meeting Tom Cruise and then had the disappointment of meeting John Cruise instead. But there you go.
Well, I realize you're $500 million poorer.
I am, I'm afraid, yes. I said, it's not going to change now, I don't think.
Too late for you.
Yep, right so.
Well, you know, people do get rich later in life. Of course, with me, it's pretty damn late, but then we don't want to get into that. Seriously speaking here, you, it says here, have been fascinated by fairy lore since your early 20s. And
yes.
We look at that as cultural, fairies and elves and myths of the past, and they're related to paranormal events. What got you interested in it?
I think it was a slightly kind of roundabout route, because I was originally, probably going back into my teens, I was interested in the stories about King Arthur. And as I got into my 20s and I was at university, I started to sort of read about that a bit more seriously and look at the background, and that got me interested in, I think the route was that I got interested in the Irish myths. And from that, somehow, it led on to fairies, in the proper sense of the word. I think it'd be partly via Morgan Le Fay, who the last name is kind of linked to fairies, but it is used in a different sense in when we're talking about Morgan Le Fay, because it's then more about a conjurer, an enchanter, rather than a supernatural being. But yeah, at some point, sort of in the early 1980s, I suppose it was, I started to get interested in fairy subjects, and for a number of years, I bought books on some of the key books on the subject. And then I suppose in the mid 1980s, you know, my interests wandered off into other subjects, and then it wasn't until 2016, so after really a break of 30 years or so, that I suddenly came back to fairies again and really got involved with the subject again.
Now, when we look at fairies, we look at some of the common myths that we've grown up with in terms of culture. So, number one, must fairies always be female, or are there male and female?
Definitely both sexes. The books that I've written and the blog that I operate, you know, is deliberately called British Fairies. Most of what I'll probably say to you this in the course of our chat will be deliberately from a British perspective, because that's what I know in detail. But yeah, in the last 100 years, maybe there's been a lot of emphasis put on the female fairy, and particularly, I suppose, the more sort of girly fairy. But certainly in British folklore, there's never been any doubt that there've been both sexes, you know. So you've got a character like Puck, say, in Midsummer Night's Dream, who is very obviously a male character. But then in Midsummer Night's Dream, alongside him, you've got Queen Titania and all the girly fairies who are her attendants. So, yeah, it's always been a mixed sex population, you know, for obvious reasons that you're not going to get any more fairies if you don't have both sexes, and their interactions with humans have been, you know, from both sexes. So there's been male humans who've been pursued by female fairies, and the other way around as well.
So we have another image there of Tinkerbell in the, yes, Peter Pan stories. And of course, if you saw Hook, the live action Peter Pan from Steven Spielberg, basically it was Julia Roberts with wings.
Yes.
Tiny Julia Roberts with wings. So are fairies meant to be miniature beings?
That varies. You know, I think there's quite a lot of confusion about it now, because on the one hand you've got that image of Tinkerbell from Disney particularly, and then on the other hand you've got the elves that everybody knows from Lord of the Rings. And it's impossible to, on the face of it, to reconcile those two extremes. But certainly if you look at the British folklore, there's a range of heights shown, that they're understood to go from maybe, I suppose, sort of short adults, or maybe somebody maybe in their late teens, that kind of height, down to maybe the height of a child of maybe 9 or 10. So the British folklore has always understood them to be not as tall as humans, but certainly not microscopic. But that's, yeah, that idea of fairies being really, really tiny is, I think, pretty much an invention of, particularly of Victorian times, say, but I think it was starting to come out towards the end of, the 17th century, that people, various poets in Tudor and Stuart England like to kind of play around with that idea of them being very tiny, and just to explore the fantasy idea of, you know, if you've got a fairy is only a couple of inches high, then, you know, what are they going to drink out of, and what are they going to eat, and that sort of thing. So it was done very much for amusement, but it has stuck, unfortunately, and fairies have been converted into these tiny little things with wings, which are quite harmless on the whole. And that is not how they are in British tradition. And for that matter, I mean, going back to your mention of Tinkerbell, I mean, if you actually read the original books by J.M. Barrie, then Tinkerbell herself is not a very pleasant character. You know, she spends quite a lot of the story trying to kill Wendy because of sexual jealousy. So, you know, even J.M. Barrie was aware enough of the tradition to not make her a very kind of sugar-coated kind of character.
Okay, so of course, therefore, Walt Disney didn't look at that, nor did Steven Spielberg, in looking at the concept of Tinkerbell. But let's go back to the folklore. How far back can we trace legends of fairies?
In Britain, certainly to Anglo-Saxon times before the Norman Conquest in 1066. So there's a tradition of elves, as they would have called them then in Britain, going back 1200, 1400 years, I would say. And I'd be very confident in saying that you'd find similarly ancient traditions stretching back in Wales and in Scotland as well.
We'll have more with John Cruise talking about the legends of fairies and elves. With Gene and Tim, you're in
The Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Kind of exiting our normal warehouse, which has been mostly UFOs followed by Bigfoot and ghosts, exploring fairy myths, legends, is there a reality behind them? John Cruise has been exploring this for an awful long time, and we're trying to understand this. A very quick and silly question, John.
if a fairy walked up to me tomorrow, other than possibly being shorter than I, would I be able to recognize them as something other than human?
Not necessarily, no. There may be things which might attract your attention, maybe the color of the hair, and sometimes people say there's something quite distinctive about the color of their eyes. But other than height, there isn't immediately anything to distinguish them. You know, as I said, they, in British tradition, they don't have wings or anything really unusual like that. So it might be a short person, but you wouldn't necessarily know immediately.
What about a lot of more, I suppose, recent or pop culture references to fairies, besides the, you know, being teeny tiny and with wings, is a lot of times they've been described as being, you know, ghost-like or like smoke. I mean, is there any older traditions around that, or is that just more of a modern, structure?
It is primarily a modern thing, but there are odd mentions in some folk stories to the effect that they're maybe not as solid as we are. I can think of one of these sort of key texts is a book which was written back in the early 1900s by an American scholar called Evans Wentz, and it's the fairy faith in Celtic countries. And one of the stories that he tells, I think it's from Scotland, a woman is walking home, and this woman appears beside her, and they walk along for a while. And she, you know, as we were just saying, she assumes that it's another human being that she's walking with, and then for some reason or other, she tries to touch this stranger, and her hand goes straight through. So there are odd scattered references like that, but on the whole, the tradition is that they're just as solid flesh and blood as we are, you know, and that's borne out by the fact of what I was talking about earlier, you know, that people can take fairy lovers, and people can have children with their fairy lovers. So clearly, there's ordinary sort of physical carnality there, and normal sexual relations can take place.
Even though you write primarily about British fairies, if you go and look worldwide, I mean, it seems like that every culture throughout history has their own different legends and mythologies of similar types of beings. I mean, they may be called something different, but they seem to fit that same ecological niche, so to speak.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, and right across Europe there are related beings, and yes, and, you know, we've got the genies and the jinns and the peris coming from the Middle East and from Iran and places like that, and yeah, every culture has been aware of the fact that there is a parallel population sharing the landscape with them, which, you know, the fact that it is a universal perception is quite a strong argument for saying that obviously people are aware of some sort of reality, whichever culture they're living in, however they see it, and whatever label they put on it, there's a core of something that everybody is experiencing there.
Let's look at the core of this then, John. Are these just myths, legends, or do they represent real creatures or beings?
The approach that I've always taken with my... Well, I suppose going right back to what we were talking about at the start, when I got interested in the subject back in the early 80s, my feeling then was, well, you know, why did people believe in these things? Surely there must have been some sort of real experience that was the origin of these various stories. And certainly since 2016, when I've been doing the blog and writing the books, the approach that I've consciously taken is I don't try and pretend that I'm doing folklore and that I'm an academic folklorist. What I call what I write is fairy lore, and my conscious approach is thousands and thousands of people over 1,000 years have had these experiences, so let's take them seriously. You know, and accept that they saw what they saw, and they had those physical contacts that they had. So, you know, they believed that they had encountered another physical being. And my approach is always to say, well, yeah, they knew what happened to them, and I'm not going to question it. So they're there, yes.
Now, some people try to relate or connect sightings of fairies to sightings of beings from a flying saucer. Are we looking at something similar here?
There are certainly similarities between the two phenomena, and it's not an aspect of it that I've gone into so much, but my suspicion is that maybe it's a new way of framing the same sort of experience or a traditional an experience that people have been having for centuries, but people are bringing new terminology to it. And, you know, whereas maybe somebody in the Middle Ages might have talked about an angel or even the devil, then, you know, we people today reach out for different adjectives. But at the core, I think there's probably still exactly the same experience.
This is very interesting to explore. And I have to tell you, my knowledge about fairy lore is not that high, so I'm learning just like you are. With John Cruise, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz. It means you're in
the Paracast.
From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
USA News Update. At least 23 deaths were reported from a winter storm, bringing frigid conditions across the country. In Buffalo, where the National Weather Service said 28 inches of snow fell and more could be on the way, Erie County Executive Mark Pollenkar said the blizzard may go down as the worst storm in its history. Three people died in Buffalo from the blizzard. UFC Hall of Famer Stefan Bonner is dead at age 45. The UFC said it appears to be connected to heart complications. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky called a missile strike by Russia, quote, absolute evil. At least 10 people were killed in the attack on Saturday. Former Republican candidate for Governor Carrie Lake says she will appeal a decision handed down by an Arizona judge Saturday, dismissing her election misconduct suit following her loss last month. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Jennifer Stein, executive producer of The Disclosure Dialogues. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We look at fairy lore going back centuries and centuries, seen by real people. But the usual reaction, John, if somebody says, I saw this creature, a fairy, whatever it is, they're going to be disbelieved. As much as people who today say I saw a gray alien tend to be disbelieved.
Yes, I think that is an unfortunate truth, and I think it's probably aggravated by the fact that people have very much got the impression now that fairies are these small feminine beings with wings and a wand, and it is. There is a tendency, I think, in the general population, for people to think of it as being a subject that it's appropriate for small children to be interested in, but it's not something for adults to bother with. And there's maybe something a bit strange about an adult who would admit to such a sighting, but. That's really just the product, I would say, of the last 150 years or so, and most of the history of fairy contacts, very much an adult thing.
Yeah, but there has been fairy sightings right up into, you know, modern times. I think, like, for example, the children in 1979 in a park in Nottingham who claimed that they were chased by gnomes in little cars.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, it's a beautiful story.
It is, yes. I mean, there's an academic who specializes in this area more from the folklore perspective that I was talking about earlier, called Simon Young, and he conducts a regular so-called fairy census, and The Fairy Census is deliberately gathering contemporary experiences, contemporary sightings of fairies from across the world. So he's got people reporting their experiences from Europe, from the States, but you know, equally from Australia, New Zealand, and other countries as well. So these sightings are still happening, and I think in earlier times, then they would probably have evolved into some of the traditional stories that we would call folklore today. But you know, in modern circumstances, the way that they're transmitted and so on, it probably won't work out in the same fashion. But those contacts are still going on, and our experience of fairies is still evolving, and we're still learning about them, and we're still getting to understand them, I would say.
That's really fascinating. I mean, considering that we are still talking about these folklores and mythologies in the 21st century, and a lot of people would look at the term fairies and, you know, like we talked about earlier, you know, think about the little diminutive beings with wings and stuff. But, you know, here we are, 2022, and we're still talking about this subject in the same way that people were talking about it back in the 14th, 15th, 1600s.
Yeah, so maybe it says something about human nature as well, that we don't we're reluctant to submit entirely to the kind of cold rationalism of science, and equally, I suppose it's an indicator that there are other dimensions that maybe not everybody is prepared to acknowledge exist, but centuries of experience indicates that these other dimensions and these other beings are there and are prepared to make contact with us when they feel like it.
Yeah, it is nice that, you know, in this day of rampant materialism, that there are still people willing to entertain that there's a lot more to our reality than we can consider.
Yes, well, I suppose I become increasingly a convert to that, or maybe even a kind of proselytizer for that point of view. I suppose the longer I've done the blog, and the more I've researched the folklore, and the more I've written about it, then perhaps yes, the more hardened my views have become. But as I said before, you know, earlier on, I think my approach is, well, I think it would be simply rude of us maybe to say, well, all the people who had these experiences, these hundreds, these thousands of people who had these contacts, were all fantasizing, again and again and again, they have similar experiences, but all of them were just making it up or having some sort of, some sort of psychiatric disturbance. I think we should pay those previous witnesses the respect to say, yes, we believe you, and we don't think you're all lying. We will take your word for it, and we'll respond seriously to what you went through and try to investigate it as best we can.
Well, that's the interesting thing here that happens, unfortunately. Somebody sees something that is out of the norm. And then the first thing is to say, well, I never heard of such a thing. You must be lying. But we've got to look at motivations of people. Why would people lie about seeing beings of this nature, whatever they are?
Well, exactly. There's no particular reason for people to lie. And I suppose the other thing to say, Gene, is that these aren't always solitary experiences. There have been groups of people who have had an identical experience. I can think of a couple of going back to the Nottingham case that you mentioned, Tim, you had half a dozen school children who saw those gnomes in Wollaton Park. And I can think of, off the top of my head, immediately a couple of cases from Wales where two people and maybe sort of half a dozen people working out in a field one day saw a fairy manifestation. So it's easier to say that an individual witness was drunk or they were making it up or they were having some sort of mental breakdown. But when you've got six people all seeing the same thing, then it becomes much, much harder to argue with, obviously.
What about the names? You referred to, the gnomes of the Nottingham Park, that fairies, elves, brownies, gnomes. Are those the same names that people referred to these things, back in the day, or have they, like everything else, have the names evolved to be through to today?
Before we have any answer to your question there, Tim, I wanted to take a quick break here. We have John Cruz. He's been studying the legends, myths, reality of fairies, fairy lore. With Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Wishing you the brightest of Christmas seasons and best wishes for the new year from the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
As we continue our journey through fairy lore, a subject we have not discussed very much on the Paracast with Jean and Tim, we have John Cruz, who was just asked a question in our previous segment. John, go ahead, please.
The names have evolved, yes. And if we were back in England before the Norman Conquest, then we'd just talk about elves and nothing else, really. And then following the Norman arrival in England, and French words came into the English language, and that's where fairy comes from. That's you know, a late innovation. And then we were talking about the Wallerton gnomes in Nottingham. Gnome is an entirely made up word that it was invented by the German doctor Paracelsus in the 16th century. He invented gnome, and he invented sylph, and he invented undine. We've taken those on as if they are sort of traditional characters, but they're not part of a British tradition. And for that matter, I mean, we tend to, under the influence of Tolkien, we tend to talk about dwarves quite freely now, but the word did exist in England, but then disappeared. It wasn't really a central part of British tradition, and it remained in Germany and I think Scandinavian countries, and it was really re-imported from there by Tolkien when he was writing The Hobbit and so on. So we've come to think of it again as part of the pantheon. And again, I would tend not to use it when in my writing, because I see it as, I suppose, not authentic, for want of a better word. But yeah, so the terminology, there's what we tend to use in everyday speech, and then there's probably what I'd be more kind of purist about when I'm doing my writing.
Speaking of names, there's an interesting part of fairy mythology in that they keep their names very close to them, and it's not something to be revealed. And we can see that has come down to us today in the story of Rumpelstiltskin, but there's really a rich history behind that.
There is, yes. It's again, that's another example of kind of German folklore displacing British folklore, because yes, everybody knows Rumpelstiltskin, but there are British equivalents to that nobody except specialists, I suppose, have heard of. So, yes, there's a number of Welsh versions. One's called Trutin Tratton, and there's a Scottish one called Whoopity Story. But the stories are identical, yes, and the names are withheld because names have got magical power, and if somebody else comes into possession of your name, then they may have control over you.
You know, when we think of Rumpelstiltskin, a lot of people nowadays think of British actor Robert Carlyle, who played it in Once Upon a Time, but he was not miniature, he was a guy of normal height.
Yes, and that's again part of the confusion that we've got ourselves into in the last century. I would say that we've kind of lost sight of what original British tradition was, and you've got the miniature fairies derived from the flower fairy books and that kind of thing. And in tension with that, you've got the warrior elves out of the Lord of the Rings stories, and people really aren't quite sure what they should expect. And I was talking about the fairy centers earlier, and certainly a lot of people, I think part of what people experience is what they expect to experience. So quite a lot of the reports that come into the fairy centres do involve seeing small or even very, very tiny fairies indeed, sometimes fairies reduced to just points of light. So I think it appears that sometimes what people see is what they've kind of been prepared to see by the stories that they grew up with, you know, the books that they read when they were children, and I suppose the Disney films that they watched when they were children.
Well, we have to blame Walt Disney for our impression of Tinkerbell, the sanitized version.
Definitely, yes, yeah. You know, and the man who drew the figure very consciously modelled her on a glamour model of the period. So, again, that was quite consciously moving away from what J.M. Barrie wrote, because J.M. Barrie's Tinkerbell is, he puts it quite quite delicately, but he suggests that she's quite a sort of a round young woman, shall we say. You know, she's not a supermodel in the original. She is quite tiny, but well, tiny in height, but she's probably quite full figured, shall we say.
The old age impression of women was more full figure than it is today, where women want to be very thin, and yeah, if they're not, it could cause, you know, some kind of psychological damage. But looking at the Peter Pan image itself, and I said what we have, of course, is the Walt Disney version. We have the movie Hook. How different is that from what the book portrayed?
As you said just now, it sanitized it, and it took took a fair bit of the violence out of it. I mean, it's a while since I saw say that you know, it's a very long time since I saw the Disney cartoon, and it's a few years now since I actually reread Peter Pan. But I mean, obviously there is violence in the story as we know it now, with Captain Hook and you know, trying to kill Peter. But there's a lot more antagonism in the original story, as I remember, and as I said, the Tinkerbell very much is possessive about Peter Pan, and when Wendy, the human girl, turns up, who's more Peter Pan's size, then she does react very violently, and well, she does try, or possibly even temporarily succeeds in killing Wendy, and that aspect of the story, I'm fairly confident in saying, is something that they chose to edit out in all the more recent versions.
Would you describe that, killing Wendy? How was this accomplished, and I assume she was brought back to life?
As I remember, they're flying over the island, whatever it's called, where Peter lives with the Lost Boys.
And Neverland,
thank you. And somehow Tinkerbell engineers that Wendy loses the power of flight, I think it is, so that, you know, she falls hundreds of feet through the air. She is quite a scheming and malicious character in the book, and she was, I think it began with the play, because he wrote the book first of all, and then it became the stage play. And in the stage play, I don't know whether it was just the problems of producing the thing, but they reduced her just to a flickering light. They didn't try to get an actress to portray the character. So they just had a light darting around the stage, and that probably began her decline into sort of non-physical harmlessness, shall we say.
Hey, this is going to be physical, not non-physical, with John, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com, gcnfood.com.